I'd like to share with you a perspective that I believe will make it significantly easier to maintain the dual mentality of loving the sinner while hating the sin. Avraham Avinu was approached by Hashem and was told to look up at the sky, and Hashem told him, "You see those stars over there? Your children are one day going to be like those stars." Now, you ever wonder what Hashem meant by that? What, they were going to be as vast, as uncountable as the stars in the sky? Because it hasn't really ever panned out. The Jewish people for the duration of our history have remained between 12 and 17 million people. And if you compare that to the 2.83 billion Christians and the 1.8 billion Muslims and the 943 million Hindus and the 488 million Buddhists, that number is strikingly small. So what exactly did Hashem mean by that? So Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch explains that when Hashem was telling Avram that your children will one day be like the stars, he didn't mean that your children will be as vast and uncountable as the stars in the sky, but rather the same way you look up at a single star, and it seems so small and insignificant, and yet in reality is massive. There are stars that are more than 1,000 times the size of the sun. So to put that into perspective, the Earth is 7,918 miles in its radius. The sun is 430,000 miles in its radius. There are stars that are 1,000 times as big as the sun, which means there are stars that are 430 million miles in its radius and are hugely consequential to the health of the cosmos and the gravitational pull and the ozone layer, and yet appear to the human eye as a mere flicker in the night sky. So too, Hashem tells Avram, your children might think of themselves at times as irrelevant and insignificant and redundant and inconsequential, just a random Jew riding the subway of life, and yet in reality have 430 million miles of holiness inside of them. They have a tafkid that no one in the entire world but them can accomplish. They are immensely consequential to the spiritual health of the entire universe. When the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Perek Dala Mishnah Hay says that when you save a Jewish life, it says if you save the entire world, it's not trying to be cute, it's not being hyperbolic, it's being literal. You save a Jewish person's life, I don't care who that Jew is, I don't care what he eats on Pesach, I don't care where he sends his kids to school, I don't care where she went to seminary, it's as if you save the entire spiritual world, because you did. Because that person has a tafkid that nobody else in the entire world can accomplish. And you preserve their spiritual contribution, which holds up the world in a literal sense. When we view another Jew, we have to view them more than merely a distant relative of our big Jewish family. They are someone handpicked by God to fulfill a spiritual mission, and we cherish them and their soul because we need them and their soul. And we therefore feel so bitter and uncomfortable when that person is abandoning their tafkid or allowing their holy soul, which the entire world relies on, to simply rot away. We love them, for they are spiritually supercharged, and yet we sometimes feel sad and let down when they aren't living up to the spiritual mission we need them to. When we start the entire Maggid at the Seder with the calling out of Holach Ma'anya Diachalu Avosenu Ba'arad Mitzrayim, Kol Dechvin Yesev Yecho, and we invite all Yidden in from the streets to partake in the Seder, we aren't merely being nice. We aren't merely making sure nobody goes hungry. We need to be doing that every week. In fact, we really need to be doing that every day. What's special about Leil Seder? The answer is that you better believe that on Pesach night, the night where the Jewish people are spiritually born anew, the night where we commemorate the very first time in Jewish history, the Jewish people were given a special mission, the time we were taken out of Mitzrayim and each and every one of us was given a tafkid, you better believe on that night we are going to make sure every person in Klal Yisrael is there. You better believe on the night we are celebrating us getting our tafkid, we won't let any soul pass by, because each soul is too precious, each tafkid is too consequential. It's the exact same reason that according to the Gemara in Yuma, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that Saras is received on the body for Lashon Hara and on one's house if they didn't lend out their stuff. Now, you ever thought about that for a second? Why would Saras go specifically on those two things? Why? Because Hashem gives Saras. Why doesn't Hashem just give Saras to someone that has gaiva or anger or someone that lies or someone that's lazy or someone that's a thief? Why specifically Lashon Hara and not lending out your stuff? The answer is because those two things, more than most, demonstrate that you don't view another yid as a star, as a spiritual entity, an indispensable soul that the entire world relies on and that you would jump in front of a train for. You view him as a competitor in the game of life, a random schnook who I have nothing to do with. On such an outlook, Hashem says, get out of my machaneh. When we were at the Yam Suf about to be attacked by the Mitzrayim and the sea finally split, we didn't just run into the water with our hair on fire. We made 12 very neat rows. We oriented ourselves and walked out with our particular shevet. Why would we waste precious minutes through the chaos in one of the most dramatic moments in world history, finding our shevet to go out with, just jump in the water and run? The answer is, we knew that the job of Shevet Reuven isn't the same as the job of Shevet Naphtali, and Yehuda isn't the same as Asher, and Binyamin isn't the same as Shimon, and you better believe it, the very genesis of the Jewish people, the day we were getting our mission, you better believe we were going to leave with our specific tafkid, a tafkid that literally holds up the world. When we have this perspective, it becomes significantly easier to look at someone who might be doing the wrong thing and feel bad that the holiness inside of them is being sullied and perhaps their tafkid isn't being performed, but to still love them for being the one chosen to carry it out. When we have the perspective that each and every member in Klal Yisrael is a soldier in Hashem's army tasked with a mission only he can carry out. He is a star that the entire universe relies on. Every mora, every shatnez checker, every mikvah lady, every eruv checker, every sukkah builder, every matzah baker, every pre-Pesach car cleaner, every sheichet, every gabbai, every shofar blower, every arava salesman, every irreligious college kid, every off-the-derech teenager, every rabbi, every congregant, every badchen, every fundraiser, every rich man, every poor man, Jews that you love, Jews that you hate, Jews that you can't stand, those that you agree with, those that you don't agree with, every man, woman, and child, every single one of us form the rainbow that is the Jewish people. Every single one of us has its place on this starry night that Avram saw so many years ago. When we have that perspective, we can do great emotional balancing acts. We can love the sinner and hate the sin. We can look at any single person in Klal Yisrael and think to ourselves, and really believe it, the entire spiritual world needs you. There is no such thing as a redundant Jew. There is no such thing as an unnecessary Jew, for there were 600,000 people who left Mitzrayim. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Is that a coincidence? Of course it's not.